Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died.
You
guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn is unsightly.
What the hell does that mean?
You guys think that you're going to take my house? You got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Well, it's all over the news. As you know, Trump is getting the biggest U.S. tax reform in the history of the United States. And as Trump would say, it's not tax reform, it's tax cuts, and mainly for the middle class. So what does this mean to the middle class, and what kind of additional deductions or credits can we expect? We know it's going to be much simpler, or maybe we're just going to be filling in our tax returns on one sheet of paper, or maybe even a postcard, as some have suggested. Well, 2017 is almost over, and soon we'll be getting ready to prepare our tax returns. So today's show is all about Trump's tax cuts, what to expect, the deductions, tax credits, and of course, how much less we're going to have to pay good old Uncle Sam. It's that and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And today's guest, we're pretty excited, Eddie Page, CPA. He's back with us. And just to kind of summarize, he is the principal owner of Page & Company, and he's been in this business for, about 25 years now. Okay. And he prepares audits, reviews, compilations for homeowners and condominium associations. And more importantly, he's got his lovely wife, Mary, here with him today. So I'd like to welcome both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. And just
thanks for coming, Mary.
Thank you.
My husband loves talking about taxes.
All right. Well, our audience is in for a treat here tonight then. All right. So, Eddie, just to get started, can you explain, just to summarize, what President Trump's tax reform is about?
Yeah, well, Donald Trump's basic tax philosophy is to lower taxes so that we Americans will have more money in our pocket, we'll go out and spend it, we'll stimulate the economy.
I like that.
And as people spend more money, businesses make money, and then they pay taxes on that money. So that's the whole philosophy of this tax reform that everybody's been talking about.
And Sharon loves to
spend
money,
too. Sounds
good
to me.
So basically, now, what about if somebody's making like $25,000 annually? I mean, what's the tax savings that individual would be able to, you know, get?
Well, first of all, it depends. That's the typical tax answer to anything like this. Right now, there are two bills. The House of Representatives passed one tax bill. The Senate passed the second tax bill. And what they do, they go to committee, and they come up with one bill, and then both houses, both the House and the Senate, pass that one bill, and it goes to the president for signature. Now, the both bills, there's similarities, there's a lot of differences also.
Well, a lot of people don't understand the tax bill. I mean, obviously they're looking at it. I know they're trying to simplify it, right?
Well, they tried to with this, but they basically shuffled the deck with the taxes. They, you know, they've changed the tax rates. They've changed the tax thresholds. There's a lot of changes there, and each bill is different. The House bill has 4 tax brackets, and the Senate bill has 7. Right now, we still have 7. We have 7 right now. What the Senate tax bill does, it basically lowers each one by 3%, except for the top rate remains the same. And more than likely, the Senate bill is going to be closer to the one that's going to be finalized.
That's with the 4 tax brackets, right?
No, that's with the 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The four was the House. Now, the House prepared their bill. The Senate looks at it. They decide what they keep, what they like. They change what they don't like. So to get the Senate on board to pass, they had to make a lot of changes.
I mean, isn't it better to go with 4 brackets as opposed to 7? I mean, try to simplify this thing. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's probably going to put guys like you with less clients, right?
No, I think the way this tax bill is written, it's gonna increase the the activity for CPAs, tax attorneys.
Oh. Because
it's a lot more complicated than even I realized. I mean, you hear all the stories, all it's going to simplify everything, but it seems like it makes it more complicated with the way they've shuffled everything.
Right,
You can take some deductions and some you can't now.
Okay.
Now, going back to you talked about someone making $25,000 annually. If we go with the Senate bill, because that's the one that's probably more likely to, the final bill will be closely matched to.
Right, right.
If you're single with no kids, I estimated you'll get about $400 more.
That's with tax, that's with Trump's tax reform. What was it before?
Well, it would have been $400 less. So if you're tax
bracket. So you're going to say $400, you get to spend, if you're making, I know you're making more than $25,000, so forget about you. But if you're
single. $25,100.
Single with no kids,
you get an extra $400 to spend.
Married filing joint, no kids, you get an extra $300. Oh, wow. And that's my calculation based on what's available now.
Yeah.
And of course,
okay.
In the committee, it may change, but that's just kind of a rough estimate.
So if someone's making $75,000 a year, what type of tax savings are they going to get under this tax reform?
Well, then it goes up. If you're single with no kids, it's about $2,100 is what I calculated.
So you went from $400 to $2,100.
Now that's the increase. So that's the tax savings.
Right, right. So you'll pay $2,100. You'll get an extra $2,100 based on that. Because obviously at $75,000, you're paying more in taxes.
Right.
So you're getting more back.
You're probably getting a W-2, the takeout withholding. So your tax is going to be $2,100 less. So depending on your withholding, depends on how much of a refund you're going to get back. But you're going to pay $2,100 less in taxes, roughly.
Right. Now I'm going to go up one more bracket here. At $175,000, what would the savings be there? And then what is the threshold? I mean, what's the cap? I mean, if you make like $250,000, you're going to get it, right? I mean, you're going to get hammered. Where is that?
Well, you're going to get hammered at $160,000. It's 32%.
Oh, wow.
For even under the new tax plan, it was 33%. They lowered it to 32%.
Okay. Right.
I mean, it's, you know, and if it's above 200,000, it's 35%. 500,000 and more, they lowered it by 1% from 39.5 to 38.5. So there's a lot of changes. I mean,
so even over 500,000, though, let's say you get over to a million, is there any? It's just over 500,000, and that's where it ends. Correct.
Right, it's a 1% deduction. Everything over 500,000, you pay the flat 38.5%.
Right.
All right. Do you think the returns are going to be a lot simpler?
No.
A lot.
I mean, that's what they're preaching out there,
yeah,
right, Mary?
That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, they're saying
they're
that
saying
you can
do it
fill
on
it up.
Postcard.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. So,
that's not the case.
I don't see it with this law. Now, just to make clear, 2017. It doesn't affect 2017. 2017, the whatever tax law is in effect is in effect.
It's in
so
effect,
when you file
right.
your taxes, you know, next April, none of this affects it.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be 2018.
So it's not going to be retroactive.
It's not retroactive.
No.
Right. Now, 2018, by the time it comes out of committee, they have the choice of making it retroactive to January 1st or making it as of the date they pass it.
Right.
It's up to, and we don't know when that's going to be. Who knows how long it's going to go through committee? There's already talk about changes, making some perhaps major changes. So,
you think it's going to get passed, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if once the Senate
The Senate's already passed it, right?
Yeah. Right. And I think that was the key.
Right.
To get it passed the Senate. So what they have to do in committee is to merge the two bills so it passes the Senate. The Senate was the one that it squeaked through. So you got to keep the senators happy. So whatever senators, if they have a problem with the merged bill, then, you know, they have to really basically, you know, kind of cater to them to make sure it'll pass, you know, both houses.
Right. Now, you know, you hear all these different deductions, you know, when Trump's on the air and, you know, Trump's on TV and all these different senators. But I also heard that there's some child credits that they're doing in addition. I mean, you can enlighten us on that.
This is where it gets complicated. What they've done is they doubled the standard deduction, which is great. If you're single, it was around $6,000, goes up to $12,000. Married, filing, joint, it was $12,000, go up to $24,000. But what they did away with was the personal exemptions. So if you have kids, if you have dependents, that's gone. Because they raised the standard deduction and they did away with personal exemptions. Now, if you have a child under 17, there's a $1,000 per child credit that you have to make up for not having the personal exemption.
Now, that's a $1,000 credit off your taxes and not necessarily off the income, correct?
Right. That's dollar for dollar.
Right.
A credit's dollar for dollar off your taxes.
Right.
The personal exemption was $4,050. That reduced your income before taxes. So if you're in the 25% tax bracket, each dependent, you save roughly $1,000 in taxes. You're going to lose that. So what they've done is if you've got a child under 17, the credit was $1,000. Now it goes up to $1,600. So if you're in the 25 tax bracket, you know, you're going to have $400, maybe perhaps more in taxes, because instead of getting the $4,050 personal exemption, 25% tax bracket, you would save roughly $1,000. Now you're going to get only $600 of it back as a credit.
So do the Democrats have any substance to their arguments on their position as far as tax returns are concerned? I mean, they're saying that it's not a good bill. I mean,
they're saying that it's going to create a larger deficit. Right?
Well, the deficit all depends on income. I mean, you know, the whole idea of some of the tax reform here is you have more people have more money in their pockets. They go and spend it and increases the tax revenue. I think for the deficit, I think the key in this tax bill is going to be for the corporate rate, because right now, corporations, they pay 15% on the first $50,000, and then it goes up to 39% pretty quickly. That's why all these corporations, Apple Computer, they've got all this income parked overseas. Apple, I think, has it in Ireland, because if they bring it over, then it has to be taxed, and it's going to be taxed at really high tax rates. So what this bill does, it lowers the tax rate for corporations down to 20%.
Which is good. It's an incentive to come to this country.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the idea is for them to start moving that money over here.
Which makes us a lot more competitive as a nation, right?
Yeah. And so the question whether it affects the deficit, I mean, you're talking about an estimate. Well, how much are the corporations going to bring over? I mean, I think Apple's got billions.
Which generates a tremendous amount more revenue. I mean, Reagan did it, and even Kennedy believed in the same philosophy.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is saying that it's Armageddon. Now, obviously, we think that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But
but what's your position on that? I mean, obviously it's a good plan for the country, but is it a good plan? Is it a good reform for the citizens?
Well, I think overall it will be. I mean, the C corp income is going to be great. You know, that's going to when the C corp has all that income, they have to do something with it. They can't hold it and retain earnings. They have to appropriate it toward capital expenses, or they either have to pay it out. They can pay it out by paying their employees more. They can pay it out as dividends. All that creates a second level of taxation there. So that's going to be a great effect there. They've lowered the tax brackets, you know, 3%. So it's going to be, you know, a little bit hit and miss, but I think overall it's going to be good. I think if you have a small business, an S-Corp partnership, it's going to help you. There's certain tax advantages that you can do.
Which I'm an S-Corp, so, you know. But, I mean, the S-Corps are set up, whereas
I mean, I get a K-1, so it just comes down to me. But, you know, so what are the benefits on an S-Corp?
Well, like S-Corps, like partnerships, are flow-through.
Right.
So whatever the net income from your corporation flows through to your personal, which could kick you up potentially into the 38.5% tax bracket.
Higher tax bracket.
What they did, they've lowered it. The House bill is like, one's 23%. I think the Senate bill is 25%. So you don't pay more than that on your pass-through, your flow-through income. So they've limited that.
So that would be all K-1 income that would be excluded from that.
Right. So you'd pay a lower tax bracket. So if you're in a higher tax bracket, you know, you wouldn't pay necessarily 38.5% on income. That income, you'd pay a lower tax bracket, which would help. I mean, more money in your pocket, which you go and spend. And
right.
Okay. Yeah. According to the most recent IRS analysis of individual tax returns, 70.4% of American taxpayers claim the standard deductions on their returns. What are the standard deductions?
Well, right now, for the current tax law, you can take real estate taxes, mortgage interest, real estate taxes, charitable contributions, medical you can take up to 7.5% of your adjusted gross income if you're adjusted gross income gets
those above. Are medical expenses and not typically health insurance, right?
No, it covers health insurance.
Okay.
Health insurance, anything medical, anything related to medical, you can take as a deduction, as an itemized deduction. It's limited, 7.5%. If your adjusted gross income gets high as 10%. Now, one of the tax bills, the House tax bill, does away with the medical deduction. I don't know why, because generally people who have to pay a lot of medical expenses, they're usually middle class, lower income. I mean, and it's a hardship for them. So I don't understand the thinking why they took that out. The Senate left it in there. So I think it's when it comes out of committee, it's still going to be in there that you can take the medical.
So they're going to put hopefully they'll put it back.
Right.
Now, if you're married versus being single, I mean, in the past, the IRS used to kind of look at individuals where they would tax the individuals more so than the married people.
Yeah, they've changed that. They changed that years ago. It used to be, you know, it's because the single standard deduction, if you doubled it, when you got married, you should have, it used to be, say, $3,600. When you double it, married filing joint should be $7,200. Well, it was less than that. So the standard deduction is what hurt you because it wasn't double being the single. So there were times where we would, you know, actually compute. Well, is it worth getting married in December or wait until January?
That's true.
Yeah, there was times when we did that calculation.
That's why you guys got married in December,
that
right?
Counseling.
November,
right?
Yeah, we just celebrated 24 years.
Well, hey,
congratulations.
November, that's awesome. You've been putting up with this guy for 24 years.
I know. Still talking about taxes and, right? Yeah.
1 year, 25 years.
Well, you were telling me before we started the show that your father was a CPA, too. So you've been hearing numbers your entire life, haven't you?
Yes.
It's ingrained.
I think I've gone crazy, and I'm trying to convince my kids, to join the business. But they're like, oh, we see all this paperwork. I don't know if we could do this.
Yeah, but your husband, Eddie, he's a great CPA.
Yeah.
It's a good living too. I mean, you know,
it's consistent anyway. So, what is a flat tax versus a progressive tax?
Well, a lot of people have been throwing around the flat tax, which is a good idea.
A sales tax. I mean, I like the flat tax idea.
Yeah, you know? If all your income's W-2 income, you know, they take out withholding on your paycheck end of the year. What they do is they calculate. Congress passed a law to calculate what that flat tax is. They take it out of your paycheck. End of the year, you're done. No tax return, nothing. That's basically a flat tax. And then, you know, there's all sorts of different tax scenarios. You know, some of the standard deduction, the itemized deductions, are like for mortgage interest, real estate taxes, is to encourage home ownership. So even though you have a flat tax, there's been talk about, okay, if you're happy with what was taken out, no tax return is required to file.
Okay.
But if you've got certain deductions, like mortgage interest, real estate taxes, maybe incorporating that into, okay, you only need to file if you've got maybe certain deductions.
Right.
And usually the tax law, it's famous saying if you want to kill something, just tax it. So, and if you want to encourage something, make it a deduction. So that's why we have the home mortgage interest deduction, real estate tax deduction, and hopefully that will be, even with a flat tax, there's a way to keep that in there.
Right. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about C-Corps and S-Corps and so forth, but with regards to Trump's tax plan, most of our associations are not-for-profit corporations. And is there any benefit for our community associations, condos, and HOAs with regards to Trump's proposed tax plan?
Not really, but they don't really need it. Most associations don't pay tax. Right now, they're a C-Corp, so, you know, if they file a regular 1120 under Section 277, the first $50,000 is subject to 15%. Very few associations have taxable income above $50,000. You know, maybe the big homeowners associations that have the golf club, the pro shops, the restaurants, and stuff, they may approach that. But for most associations, we fall under Section 528, 1120H. It's simple. Mainly, their only taxable income is interest. We allocate expenses.
Or laundry income or stuff like that.
Yeah. And I would say 90% or even more. We do about 600 condominium homeowners tax returns, and I would say easy 90% don't have to pay tax.
Okay. So what's the difference between a not-for-profit and a non-profit organization?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. State of Florida, your condominium and perhaps your homeowner association was probably formed under the not-for-profit section of the statute, which means as a condominium association, you collect assessments. If you've collected more than you needed for expenses, you cannot pay it back. A regular C corporation, if you have net income, you can pay it back as dividends. Under the state of Florida, they won't allow condominiums, the C corps, incorporated or not for profit, to pay it back.
Right.
Nonprofits is an IRS designation. It means you're like the United Way, you're the Red Cross,
your local church, that type of thing.
You're a charity. A real nonprofit. In other words, what you do is to help others. You're not there to make a profit. You're using it to help others.
Yeah.
And then that you have to be filed under Section 501 C3. You know, there's a C4 and a C7 also that you can file under. But mainly 501 C3 is the not-for-profit for the IRS.
All right. We're very good. Folks, before we take a break, I'd just like to talk a minute about Ruth Eckert Hall and the Capitol Theater. They are your Clearwater destinations with world-class entertainment, presenting a wide variety of concerts, Broadway, dance, and much more. Don't miss these upcoming shows. Experience the magic of the holidays and see all your favorite characters come to life at a Charlie Brown Christmas live on stage December 16th and Rockapella's Christmas show December 21st at the Capitol Theater. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer soars off the screen and onto the Ruth Eckert Hall stage December 22nd, along with the holiday classic A Christmas Carol December 20th, and a salute to Vienna's New Year's Eve concert on December 31st. Tickets for these and other great shows are on sale now. So for those tickets and more information, visit RuthEckertHall.com, or you can call the Ruth Eckert Hall ticket office at 727-791-7400. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back. Please stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400. Affordable Work Orders Incorporated is based out of Palm Harbor, Florida, and services all the surrounding areas. Affordable Work Orders provides excellent handyman services such as janitorial, maintenance, pressure cleaning, landscape care for common areas in HOAs and condominium communities, and much, much more. With great reviews and friendly service, you can depend on Affordable Work Orders to get the job done right the first time. Our number is 727-709-4895 or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Affordable Work Orders, Inc.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is CPA Mr. Eddie Page and his lovely wife, Mary. And we're talking about the benefits of President Trump's tax reform. So getting back to things, what does rollover excess funds mean, Eddie?
Well, this is for condominium homeowners associations, cooperatives. If they've collected more income than they spent, they've got excess funds. And under Section 277 of the tax law, it potentially can be taxed. What they can do, there's a revenue ruling 70-604. You vote to roll it over, then it's not taxable.
That's that vote that they do every year at the annual meeting, and the membership has to do, and you have to establish the quorum, and it's rollover excess funds consistent with IRS rulings.
70-604. Most associations, most management companies do include that, and it's there. Now, a lot of associations, if we follow Form 1120H under Section 528, then it's not required.
Right.
But I always say, always
just,
do
just
it.
Just do it anyways, just
as
in
a
case.
Safety net.
Yeah, as a place.
As a safety net.
All right, hey, listen, Tommy, we got a caller on the air, don't we? Hey, Mike, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air talking to Eddie Page. What's your question?
Hi, good evening, Eddie. Thank you so much for all the information.
Sure.
My question is kind of two-part. Under the proposed Trump plan, what's going to happen with the 3.8 investment income surtax and the tax on long-term capital gains?
That's a good question. Now, part of that 3.8% additional tax is part of the Obamacare law, where, you know, you're required to have health insurance. You can use the marketplace. You can get your own. If you don't have health insurance, you have to pay with your taxes. Part of what the Senate bill has done is gotten rid of the part where you have to pay. So, you know, if you didn't have health insurance, you know, and your income was above a certain amount.
Well, there's no more penalty. They squashed that, correct?
In the Senate bill.
Right.
It's pretty much squashed. So hopefully that will be the one that gets passed. Now, as far as that 3.8%, I haven't heard exactly where that comes in. It might still be there because all I've heard is them wanting to get rid of the reimbursement or the tax on the tax return if you don't have health insurance. 3.8%, I haven't heard. I would think they would reduce that, but right. I haven't heard anything specific.
For the
matter
investment
of fact,
income, sir.
My guess is it goes away because what they did, they created separate tax brackets.
Right.
That's not in the – it's not mentioned in the tax brackets. My guess is it goes away. Hopefully.
Well, I'll tell you, this stuff is still complicated, isn't it?
It's complicated.
I was hoping that we'd get a little more simplistic going.
I'm learning a lot here tonight.
It's complicated for CPAs.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Mike, I hope we answered your question there.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Hey,
appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
All right, Tommy, we have another caller. Scott, hello. This is Ameritech Connection. You have a question for Eddie?
Yeah, hey, Eddie.
Scott, how are you doing?
Pretty good, man. You guys may have touched up on this subject. Maybe I caught the end of the conversation, but you know, as far as Trump's tax plan, is that going to affect the national debt?
Well, we talked about it. It possibly could affect it. It all depends on how much revenue is generated. Right now, it all depends on first the final bill, and it all depends on what type of income. I'm hoping that the lowering the tax bracket on the C corporations, hopefully that will bring a lot of income in from overseas. And we'll see. We'll see what that does when they pass it.
Obviously, it's supposed to generate, the more business that comes into this country, the more revenue that's generated, and at which point it should offset any less collection of taxes in theory, correct?
And that's the hope. Plus, what Congress needs to do, they need to cut expenses also.
Well, of course. They tend to spend our money very easily. But that was Ronald Reagan's philosophy, who was a Republican, and even John F. Kennedy's philosophy, who was a Democrat. So it does work, and that's Trump's philosophy. I mean, the Democrats at this point don't believe in it, but they don't believe anything Trump comes up with, right?
Right.
So, that's a whole other show.
Right. They do need to cut expenses. Government's has gotten kind of bloated, and that.
How about me, like personally, if I was to have my, if you were to do my tax returns, would it benefit me in any way with his tax plan?
Yeah, you'll probably,
especially with all the money you're making, Scott.
Yeah. So if you're single with no kids, no dependents, it's gonna help you.
Yeah, I'm single. I do have a kid. She finally moved out.
Okay.
Let's hope she stays.
All right, Scott. Well, listen. Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right, and I know we talked about this a little earlier, but you know, what are some of the income factors that an association would be subject to paying taxes? I mean, we talked about laundry income. We talked about interest income. Now, I know you've been very creative in preparing a lot of our association tax returns. Let's just say legitimately.
Yes. Okay,
I mean, like for an example, with laundry income, we have the right to deduct certain expenses related to that, correct?
Right. Generally, I take the stand that you're not making income off laundry income by the time you pay for water,
right,
electric,
and the maintaining
repairs, maintenance, management fee, because you have to keep track of the laundry room.
Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody's got to count those coins.
Right. So, right. So
I know it's not you, Mary, right? Yeah.
So income like that, I take the stance there's, you know, you don't make a profit off. Also take the stance you don't make a loss and use the loss against other income. I consider it a wash for tax purposes. And I think that's a good leg to stand on.
It is. I mean, you know, there's other CPAs out there that would just, you know, we'd get a little bill in the mail or we'd have to pay a little bill to IRS on that regard. But then my argument has always been, as yours is, well, what about the expenses related to this to this income?
Now, there are some income that's so great it does create tax income. Some of that, if you have antenna, some condominiums have the cell phone antenna.
Absolutely, they lease it. They have that income coming.
Some have two antennas.
Well, we have that.
Yeah, so it can get $13,000 to $18,000 per year per antenna. So you could have two antennas, $36,000 per year. It's hard to write off enough expenses against that. So
no, I understand. I understand.
All right. Well, tell us, when are the corporate tax returns due?
Well, they changed it as of last year. So for 2017, this was the first change year. Corporate tax returns are due the 15th of the month of the third or the fourth month after the tax year. So it moved from basically from March 15th to April 15th.
Okay.
Now, next year, because the 15th is on a Sunday, the 16th, Monday the 16th, a holiday, is going to be Tuesday, April 17th.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
So remember, all you corporations out there, right? April 17th.
Yep, that's good. Corp.
Now, what they did is they moved partnerships and S-corporations to March 15th. And the whole idea was why they switched them around was so that because partnerships, S-corporations flow through entities, people need their K-1s before they file April 15th. So they moved theirs up a month. A lot of CPAs complained about that, but I'm happy for it because I do more C corps than S and partnerships.
Right.
So they switched it around for that, right. And that's important to remember because S corporations partnerships, if you file late, there's a huge penalty per partner.
Yeah,
for
I know.
That.
So I make sure I don't file late on my S corps.
Yeah, that would be a problem. So, okay, yeah. We have another caller on the line, right, Tommy? Hi, Sally. You have a question for Eddie?
Yes, I do. My mother's Alzheimer's care costs a little over $100,000 a year, and right now that allows her not have to pay any taxes, you know, on her Social Security income or her rental property income. So, is she going to be affected by this?
Hopefully not.
Good question.
Right now, there are two bills out there that need to be combined. The House bill, for some reason, that's considered a medical expense. You know, when you ever you have that type of care, usually a doctor writes a note that sometimes I'll attach that to the tax return because it's a legitimate health expense, medical deduction, which you can take now in 2017. 2018, the Senate bill leaves it in, the medical deduction. The House bill takes it out. My guess is as they merge the bill, it will stay in there because I don't understand the reasoning of taking that out because it helps, you know, people like your mom that, you know, they don't make a whole lot of money. They've got this huge bill to pay for their care, you know, that should help them tax-wise. So my guess is it's going to stay in there. I'd be very surprised if they took that out.
That's good news, right, Sally?
Yeah. Well, I had another question, though. What about, sure. like, aren't they trying to take away people that can deduct for mortgage interest and student loans and things like that? Aren't they trying to take that away from people?
No, as far as I know, the mortgage interest real estate taxes is still in there. And what they're doing when they look at everything, they're tweaking everything. So, and sometimes you'll hear about doing away with the mortgage interest. A lot of it, they're putting it out to see which way the wind blows. And they hear from the constituent saying, hey,
if that wind blows and it doesn't smell that good, then at which point they're going to kind of back off and go in a different...
Right. Yeah. So the mortgage interest real estate taxes, as far as I know, is still there. Now, what they've taken out, this is where the controversy is the state tax. You know, there are a lot of... Luckily, we live in Florida. There's no state tax.
Yes, and hopefully we'll never have a state tax in Florida.
Some states have... pretty large taxes.
Yeah, California, New York.
Yeah, Illinois.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, you can take that as an itemized deduction. One or both of the plans, I think, take that out. And that's
I heard they were taking away itemized deductions.
Now, here in Florida, you know, we don't have the state tax, so it wouldn't affect us. They do allow sales tax deduction. I haven't heard if that's going to go away or not, but in Florida... In states that you don't have the state tax, they allow you to take a deduction for sales tax. And generally, there's a table based on your adjusted gross income. If you have enough to itemize, you'll see a little line there under the property tax for the sales tax
that we
in Florida can take.
All right, Sally, I hope we've answered your questions.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I got a question for you, Eddie. We get a lot of board members that have friends that are CPAs and that, you know, want to do the reviews or the audits or compilations for these condo and HOA associations, and they live out of state. So my question to you is, can an out-of-state CPA prepare financial statements for a Florida condo or HOA association?
No, not unless they're licensed in the state of Florida. So they have to be licensed in the state of Florida. They're licensed... Because in Florida, to be a CPA, Florida tells you, you follow the rules, you know, Florida issues you your CPA license. Each state issues you your CPA license. You have to meet their criteria. So for someone to do financial statements, to be a CPA, do financial statements of a condominium association, homeowner association in Florida, they have to be licensed in Florida.
Okay, interesting.
What's an annual report?
Well, that's just the state of Florida. You know, the state of Florida for every corporation, S corporation, partnership, LLC, you send in your articles to the state. It's basically a tax. You tell the state what type of corporation you are.
Keeps them active, you know.
Yeah, and you have to pay each year. You have to pay.
Right.
Pay
at this.
It's a revenue source.
You have to register. And there's a penalty if you miss that deadline
it's
as well.
Huge penalty.
It's $400 if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it is, but they used to give you a little grace period there, and then they did away with that.
Yeah. Not anymore. And it was a problem because they used to send out postcards. And people will lose the postcards. They won't look at the postcards.
Well, now you get an email.
Deadlines. Yeah. Now, there's no leeway. It's right. If you haven't paid it by May 1st.
With all the associations we have under management, it takes us a month to get through those annual reports.
It's tough.
So, and typically we start getting the email notices.
But, you know,
January.
We also want to make sure they're correct, too.
Absolutely.
You know, it's
important.
Well,
we got to make sure
right.
the boards are correct. And,
right.
You know, all that information.
Oh, I can see that can be.
Right.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, right, Tommy? We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sun Paints and Coatings is your hometown paint store, family owned and operated for over 40 years. Sun Paints has 6 locations throughout Hillsborough, Pinellas, and Pasco counties. Sun Paints and Coatings manufactures Daico brand paints in Tampa and is an authorized distributor of Benjamin Moore and PPG paints. Sun Paints and Coatings works closely with property management companies, HOAs, condo associations, and individual homeowners, helping ensure a great project. Trust the experts at Sun Paints and Coatings. Sun Paints is the best paint under the sun. Visit us at sunpaintsandcoatings.com.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey! What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation.
At 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in over-treating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Mr. Eddie Page, CPA, and his lovely wife, Mary. Hi, Mary. And we're talking all about the benefits of Trump's tax reform. Eddie, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Is there ever such a thing as a for-profit condo or HOA association? I mean, most of them are not-for-profit organizations that are set up.
Yeah, almost all of them are not-for-profit. There are some associations called cooperatives or created under Section 721 of the Florida statutes. They can be for-profit. Matter of fact, there's a tax advantage of them being for-profit. Now, a co-op is basically a C-corp. When you buy shares in the C-corp, and as in exchange, you get the right to use a certain living space. Some co-ops are like mobile home parks. Some can be condominiums where you get to use the inside space of, right, of that condominium unit. So, yeah, so cooperative condominiums are out there. They can be for-profit. And the advantage of being for-profit is that you shouldn't have to pay any tax, because what you can do is a cooperative, if they have a net income, That's taxable. But what you can do before the tax return is filed, you can distribute that back to the owners and then...
As a dividend.
Right, and it's not taxable.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man. You know, you are a really good CPA.
Yeah.
And if anybody needs a good CPA, call Eddie Page. What's his phone
Page
number?
At Page & Company.
At Page & Company. I don't have his phone number right in front of me, but let's get his phone.
We'll get that later. all right. This is a real interesting question. Can a homeowner actually deduct their HOA fees from their tax returns?
Possibly. If you rent out your unit, you can.
Okay.
And that's probably about the only way. If you run a business out of your home or your condominium, you can maybe take a percentage of that. That was something you can talk to your tax advisor. There, right. There may be a way. But if you rent your property out, then you can. You can take 100%
of it. But if it's your primary, you can.
It'd be tough to. I mean, right. Now what you can do if it's your primary and there's a special assessment for capital improvements, that yes. part will add to your basis so that when you go to sell it, your capital gain won't be as great.
Right.
Okay.
Right, right. Interesting. All right. Does a HOA or condo ever are required to pay property taxes for their common elements?
If they own a unit, so if they have title to a unit, if they've gotten title to a unit, I think they have to pay the property tax. Otherwise, the state of Florida takes it back and it goes through a tax sale. So in that case, they do. Some homeowners associations have the community development districts that, you know, for all your drainage, your berms, your, you know, and mm-hmm. sometimes your street lights, you pay, it looks like a property tax bill, but it's just for the lighting and the berms and the drainage.
Right.
And the sidewalks. Sometimes.
The infrastructure. For
right.
Almost,
so sometimes they do, but they don't pay property tax on the common elements. So
such as your clubhouse and the pool right. and the tennis courts.
Right. They don't pay
stuff like
property
that.
Tax on that.
Okay. Can you tell us what a 501c is?
501c is under the Internal Revenue Code. It's the nonprofit portion of the Internal Revenue Code. The most common one is a 501c3, and that's like the United Way, the Red Cross, their charitable corporations, and then there's also 501c4s. 501c7s. Sometimes you'll see homeowners associations organize as 501c4, 501c7. That's sort of like social clubs and stuff like that. But every once in a while, you'll see a 501c4, you know, an association organizes that. It's rare. It's pretty rare to see that.
Right.
But just to let you know, most people when it's not for profit, that's Florida. They're not a 501c3. Most associations aren't a 501c3.
Okay. Right.
What is a exempt function? What is the exempt function income?
Well, what that is, when you're an association, homeowners, condominium, you have two ways to file taxes. One under Section 277, you're filing as a regular corporation. You can take advantage of the lower tax rate, the 15% tax rate, if you have taxable income. Most associations file under Section 528, where we file 1120H. And what that does is the IRS, under Section 528, they recognize that the income, that really is just all you homeowners pooling your money together to fix property that
pay
you own
expenses.
In entirety.
Right, right.
Right. And they realize if you have a net income, really it's just like, you know, you haven't spent enough on your property. So they recognize that as, you know, as exempt function income. So if your assessments are greater than your expenses, we file a section under Section 528, 1120H, that net income's not taxable.
Right. So that's reserves too. I mean, reserves fall under that category.
Yeah, reserves are never taxable because right. they're capital contributions. So there's Section 118 of the Internal Revenue Code that makes all that for any association not taxable.
Right.
Okay. What kind of new laws have gone into effect concerning audits for community associations?
Well, there was one that took effect in Florida.
Was it July?
July 1st, yeah. 2017, that House Bill 6027. And we talked about that on the previous mm-hmm. show.
Right.
And that was, there used to be a unit exemption. It used to be to have a CPA prepare financial statements for an association, you had to meet two criteria, more than 50 units and income above a certain amount. And what they did is they did away with the number of units. So now it's all revenue-based. So if it's over 150,000, you're required to have a compilation, over 300,000 a review, over 500,000 an audit. And I think that's a good thing. I don't know why they need the number of units, because you had to meet both criteria. If you've got 40 units and over $500,000 of income, well, you should have a third party come in and look at it. So now, I'm glad they did away with that.
Yeah, now the audits too, the audits, the reviews, the compilations, and the actual reporting requirements, you can waive them every year now, as opposed to in the past, you could waive, what, every third year you were mandated.
Right.
You couldn't, the own membership could not waive it, correct?
Right. So under the old law, homeowners associations could waive it indefinitely every year. So that didn't change. Under the old law, condominiums, they could waive it for 3 years. The fourth year, they had to have whatever their income was. Now, the law changed, so under this House Bill 6027, now they can vote to waive it year after year after year. But they have to do it before the end of the year.
Okay. So what kind of homeowner expect to receive from their association regarding financial reporting?
Well, the state dictates that, and part of it is where your income is. So if your income's gross revenue is above $150,000, you're required to have CPA-prepared financial statements unless you waive it. If you waive it, then there's the statutes talk about what I call a cash receipts and disbursement report. And it's a report showing all the income expenses on a cash basis. So it shows, you know, all the income coming in. So for assessments, instead of on the accrual basis, it's actual how much the actual assessments that came in.
Just an in and out for the most part.
Right. And then the expenses are going to be on the cash basis. So your insurance is going to be on the cash basis. So if you paid, you know, your insurance January and December of 1 year, you're going to see a large insurance expense. The next year, you know, it would be zero because you paid it in December. So it's on the cash basis.
You got it. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But before we do, we'd like to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas. A safe and healthy new year. Keep listening, folks. We will be right back with that and much more right here, right now on the Ameritech Connection.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.